I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase, and in the past, we've done all sorts of different terrain building projects on this show, but tonight, let's take our skills and apply to something a little bit different in this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome back to Season 3 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And like I said, we're going to do something a little bit different in terms of construction this week, because it's just me. Which, it's kind of a little bit irritating for me because, you know, this show comes out on Thursdays. And therefore, I usually end up recording it the weekend before. So today is April 5th, 2009, which by the time this comes out, everyone will know that April 6, 2009, tomorrow is actually one of the biggest days, if not the biggest day in miniature wargaming in 2009, because that's when Privateer Press is making available the beta rules of War Machine Mark II. So I wish we could be talking all about that, because that is the big story, but, you know, next time we'll try to get that. Next time we'll try to get some of the War Machine players together, and we'll talk some about that once we got some playtime in. Because I just actually added a few figures to my War Machine army. But today, we're not going to talk about War Machine. In fact, we're going directly opposite and talk about Warhammer 40,000 a little bit. And what's all in front of me here is actually an assortment of different weapons and, I guess, replicas of weapons, some kind of prototypes I did for some films to show you what works, what doesn't work in terms of making cool replica weapons. Our main project is going to be what's in front of me, this pink sheet of extruded polystyrene, I believe is the official terminology. And traced out on it is actually a gigantic template of a Tau Empire pulse rifle, which is obviously, if you're familiar with 40K, the primary weapon of the Tau Empire infantry soldier. And we're doing that for two reasons. One, I am a Tau player. Everyone knows that if you watched the show before. I love these little guys. But in terms of building a weapon, the pulse rifle is actually very easy to model. It's a relatively flat weapon with a lot of little grooves and things in it. So we're going to start out doing this first, and as I let some of this stuff dry, so we're going to be doing some gluing as well as cutting things out, we're going to go ahead and I'll show you some things that didn't work, some of the things that got sitting in front of me here. And if we got time, I may toss out some ideas at the very end about how to build a replica-looking, the chainsword that the humans have and something similar to how the Eldar have. So here's what you're going to start with, the Tau Empire pulse rifle. What I've got in front of me, like I said, is the pink sheet of extruded polystyrene. You can buy it from any kind of local hardware store. You'll probably get it in really giant sheets, like 8 foot by 4 foot or so, for about, I want to say, $10, $11, $12, depending on the thickness. This particular stuff I got here, I'm thinking it's either about half inch or 5/8 inch thick. I don't really remember. If you go back to last season's episode where we built the buildings for Monster Apocalypse, it's the same stuff I used back then, and back then I knew what the thickness was. So it's either 5/8 or half inch, one of the two. And I've gone ahead now and traced out the basic shape of the pulse rifle. If you're not familiar with what the pulse rifle looks like, just go ahead and track down any Tau Fire Warrior, because the Tau Fire Warriors, who are the basic infantry soldiers of the Tau Empire, carry one of two weapons. The pulse rifle, which is this big, long-looking rifle here, or they carry the pulse carbine, which is kind of a short-looking thing. But don't worry about the pulse carbine. We may get that later. We want to see the pulse rifle, the big, long weapon. And it's tough to get exact scale with these weapons because, I mean, Warhammer 40K, in terms of the figure scale, is somewhere like 28, 30, 32 millimeter. It kind of, no one really knows exactly for sure. Games Workshop changes it a lot. And in addition, the actual weapons themselves are often a little bit larger than they should be, so they can accentuate the detail and the power of the soldiers. So it's tough to get an actual idea of just how big this weapon would be. So what I end up doing, in terms of dimensions, it's 42 inches long. It's relatively arbitrary, but what you do is basically measure out a section of this polystyrene that's 42 inches long by 6 inches tall. And there's essentially two sections to the gun. There's the main barrel, which is most of the length, and then the very back here, see over here, there's the handle. The handle is about, takes up 8 inches of that 42 inches length, and occupies the full 6 inches of the entire height of the weapon. As to the barrel, which then obviously, if you do the math, 42 minus 8 comes out to be 34 inches long and it's only 4 inches tall. So my goal here is basically get the basic shape of a cutout, and then I'm going to have two halves I'm going to glue together and get a weapon that's probably about an inch wide. A few notes when it comes to actually designing the layout here. There is a little angle sections here that connect the main barrel with the kind of handle section. And there's also a little module that extends at the base of the gun. It's kind of tough to see in these tiny little module or tiny little figures. I'll hold it up there. I suppose that's probably like an ammo cartridge or something like that. So I've got that also traced out here. I'll put some pictures of this online, or the video if you're not really familiar with what's going on. So I'm basically trying to describe the layout. The last thing you want to have laid out is a third part to the pulse rifle. It's not part of the main gun. It's basically the fancy little laser sight or whatever type of sighting system they use. It's sitting right here in the corner. And in terms of size, what I actually did, it's not going to work, is it? Is I actually traced out, no, it's not going to work, but I traced out two mini DV tape cases because I had those things laying around being a videographer. But the size I chose, in case you're curious, is about 4 inches by about 2 7/8 inches. So a rectangle 4 inches by 2 7/8 inches. And there's also two little nodules that kind of extend out beyond that. And also another small little rectangle that's 4 inches long by about 3/4 inch for purposes of attaching the sight to the main gun barrel. Hopefully that makes sense in terms of how I laid this gun barrel out. I said I'll take pictures of it. It'll be on the website so you can see what I'm doing here. Now the next step is go ahead and start cutting this thing out. This is where things get messy. I've worked with this extruded polystyrene before, and there's no easy way to do it. You can use a hobby knife to cut it out. That gets messy because there's little bits going everywhere. Then you got to vacuum it up, and you don't get a very clean cut. Now, you can get a clean cut by using one of these things. It's a foam cutter. I've used it before. I've used it a couple episodes. Of course, when you want to use these things, you want to take it outside because melting styrofoam or whatever this extruded polystyrene stuff is produces toxic vapors you don't want to breathe in. So don't do this inside. And I guess if you really want to be extra paranoid, you get one of these guys on that I've used in the past before. My good old trusty little gas mask kind of thing. It's the type of mask you'd use any kind of paint plans or any kind of crumble applications. You can buy these things at home improvement stores as well. They run about $30 or so for a good mask. And these will help a lot because they obviously block the various chemicals that you're breathing in. So my first step now, I'm going to take this thing outside. We're going to use the foam cutter and cut it out. And get the two sheets cut out. That's pretty much it. So we're going to come back in a minute and show you where to go from there. Okay, here we go. We're back from outside, and we've got the basic outlines of the shapes cut out. To hold them up here, you can see here's about one side of the pulse rifle. This is going to become the other side. And then here's the two little pieces that are going to make up the sight. Let me hold up, get a little closer look over here. This is going to become the top of the sight. And here's the little side piece that's going to basically attach the sight to the main barrels. So at this point, what we're going to do is the next step of this build process is to actually start engraving the details into the pulse rifle's sides. Because the other reason I chose the Talo pulse rifle is not only is it flat, but most of the details are just engravings. It's not little pieces you've got to glue on and stick on and do weird things. It's really almost all engravings. So that's where, if you're going to look at the close-up of the pulse rifle, it's kind of tough to see. I'll probably put a better picture in there. But yeah, if you look at the close-up of the pulse rifle, you can see lots of little lines and little spots in there that it's kind of all cut out and things. So that's what I'm going to do now is trace those lines out and then not cut all the way through, just use the cutter to engrave into them. We'll get to that in just a minute. The one thing you want to keep in mind when it comes to these engravings is lay out the pulse rifle halves just like I have them in front of me here. So you don't want to lay them on top of each other like this. You want to lay them kind of spread out like this, where you got basically the top of one half is touching the top of the other half lengthwise. Because if you had both these guys, say, in the same direction like this, and you did the engravings, you're going to find out you've accidentally engraved the same size. When you want to glue them together, one side would be engraved, the other side wasn't. So that's why lay them down such that the lengthwise of the barrels, the top of them, are lined up, top to top. You're also going to find, if you're holding these things together, just kind of getting some size fittings, you're going to notice that they're probably not exactly perfectly, you know, perfectly sized. Something's going to be a little bit cut more than the others. That's not a big deal right now. You can see it a little bit if I hold this end up to that camera. It's not a big deal right now. You can clean it up later once you glue the two halves together. You just want to make sure that you get the basic shape right now. So let's lay them down, top to top. I'm going to take a Sharpie marker and start drawing out the various details and engravings on these weapons. Oh, that's another thing I want to say. So the reason I also do it top to top, this way, once I basically draw the markings, say, on one side, I can pretty much do a symmetrical flip to the other side and basically make sure everything's all nice and neatly lined up, as good as you're probably going to get it. So really, just take a look at a Tau Firewire, get a picture of their pulse rifle, and just kind of trace out the engravings on this sheet of styrofoam. Alright, I just finished up tracing out the little, I guess, decals or designs or engravings in the Tau Pulse rifle here. Let me hold up one side and two, oops, to hit the lamp. And that stuff happens. You can see I've done taking the Sharpie, kind of drawn out approximately where all the lines are. It's not a complex design in the Tau Pulse rifle. I'm sure you could get a little more intricate if you wanted to, but this is just basic. It's all basic ideas. And to make sure you engrave the right sides of the rifle, what you want to do, just go ahead and put the two halves of the rifle together as if you're going to assemble it. And if both halves or both sides have the engravings on it, then you know you marked up the right sides. If both sides don't have the engravings on it, you screwed up. Go back and do it again instead of finding out later after you've already done all the engravings. Now we're going to do the engravings. We're going to be using the foam, hot iron foam cutter like I did to cut things out. The difference here is you don't want to cut all the way through the material. Obviously, that would start cutting out sections of the pulse rifle and make it fall apart. So this is going to be really careful because you may want to only go in about an eighth of an inch, enough just to create, like say, a tiny little grooves along here. It's going to be kind of tricky, but it takes a little bit of practice. Once you get it down, it's going to be cool to give it a really cool effect. So let's head outside. I'm going to do this again, and we're going to come back once we've got all the engravings done. Okay, I just finished up the step of engraving the pulse rifle. Let me just hold it up here, and you can see I've got little grooves cut in the side of the styrofoam right here. It actually looks pretty nice. It'll look even better when we get to the paint step. We're going to fill in some black paint in there in the end to kind of make it, you know, look like a little bit more recessed to it. I want to show you one neat little trick I found out when I was out there using the foam cutter. I don't have it on right now just because I don't want to use it inside, so I can... Don't do that when it's on. That's a bad thing to touch it when it's on. But what you want to do, I found, instead of doing this where, you know, you just use the very tip and slowly move it through, what you, if you're very careful, it kind of bends the wire a little bit. Let me move it up really close here. You place it down and basically burn it in lengthwise. Let me hold it this way, see a little bit better. If you can burn it in kind of lengthwise along the engraving, and therefore it's only going to go in maybe about an eighth of an inch where you want it to go in, and you get a nice, perfect straight line going in. It makes it a lot quicker, a lot smoother, and looks overall a lot better in terms of engraving than trying to actually trace it out with just the very tip of the foam cutter thing, whatever I call it. So, now we want to go ahead and glue the whole thing together, glue the two halves together anyway. So let's place the two engraved sides down and line the pulse rifle up top-wise again. This time the engraved sides are down. So we're going to put glue on the inside here. I'm just using some basic white glue. Let's hope it's not all clogged up on me. It's not too bad. Just spread at least some glue down on one side of the pulse rifle like this. It's pretty good. And to spread it out, you can use a paintbrush. I don't know where my paintbrushes are right now. I just moved to a new apartment. So I'm going to take a little plastic bag over my hand and spread it with that so I don't get glue all over my hand. It'll do just as good of a job. There we go. I got the glue spread out all over it. Set that off the side and don't need to get that all over everything. Take the other side of the pulse rifle, line up as best you can. Like I said, it's probably not going to be perfect because you're not going to, when you originally cut out the basic shapes, It's probably not going to be an exact match. Do your best to line up the engraved lines almost perfectly. That's probably a little more important to get those lined up than maybe having a little extra eighth of an inch of material on one side. At this point, we're just going to let it go for maybe an hour or so, let it dry. We're going to come back and show you about how you go about painting it up. That's a bit of a process in itself. So let's go ahead, like I said, let it go for about an hour. We'll come back then and start working on painting it up. All right, so the glue's drying here on a Tau Pulse rifle. And while we're doing that, I want to take a few minutes to talk a little about things that didn't work or different ideas of approach you can build these weapons. Here's one that didn't work and looks really, really ugly. It's this big gray thing sitting right in front of me here. This is an old prototype when I was messing around trying to come up with a design for a weapon for an independent film I was working on. It was a very early prototype. The sketch looked good, but the model turned out like crap. That kind of stuff happens. This thing is actually built out of fiberglass. If I flip around in the back, where the unprimed side, and you see the fiberglass a little bit better. Fiberglass is basically these sheets. It kind of looks a little bit like cheesecloth. It's kind of like a little sheet that's got lots of little holes in it. And it's very flexible initially, and what you do is you put this stuff over a mold of some sort. Then you put in this resin, which is very nasty, very foul-smelling, very toxic resin, and you put over the cloth, and that reacts with the cloth to kind of harden it. So this thing here is actually built out of two pieces. So that's the problem where I screwed up, is I basically tried to make each half of the gun, which is, you know, if I were to cut it down like, you know, like this, lengthwise, try to make each half as one separate piece. That didn't work. I mean, you can do some really cool stuff with fiberglass molding. A lot of car enthusiasts use it to build like custom speaker cases and custom subwoofer cases and cool things like that. So, I mean, you can just, if you know what you do with this stuff, it's kind of tricky to work with because it's really sticky. So sometimes the stuff starts sticking to your hands and it ruins your whole mold. So it's tricky to work with, but if you know what you're doing, you can do some really cool stuff. So what you might want to do if you try a fiberglass approach is build the gun in sections. So instead of trying to have two large pieces, have lots of little pieces, and you kind of stick them all together at the end. Get that guy out of the way. Another thing I was working on, this is a second prototype of that gun. This here is, actually it's starting to fall apart a little bit. I didn't have them fix the gun barrel in the front. This one was built out of foam core board, so it's getting a little bit better, looks a little bit nicer, still kind of rough, but like, once again, this was just a prototype to get an idea of the size and shape of the weapon, the final weapon that's going to be. I had a little bit of PVC piping on here, it's kind of falling off, that was the gun barrel. And if one neat little trick I did with this one, if you notice here, there's actually wires running into the gun barrel. The reason for that was, let me see if it should still work, batteries are in place. I built into this thing what is called basically an electric circuit to make it look like it's firing a blue pulse. So what's in here is there's two super bright LEDs, the blue super bright LEDs. It's hooked up to what's called the 555 timer circuit. Obviously, it's really basic electrical engineering, but still it's beyond the scope of this show. But the 555 timer circuit is basically a very simple integrated circuit that essentially creates, the fancy term would be a oscillating square wave would be the fancy terminology. Essentially what that means is it turns things on and off really, really fast. And you control the rate at which things turn on and off by hooking up different components to it. So that's why I'm going to hold the button down and turn the timer on, and it causes it to start flashing really quickly and kind of gets a little bit of a cool muzzle effect. You could probably integrate something like that into this pulse rifle. It'd be a little bit trickier seeing that it's a solid body instead of an empty thing. But that's an idea you may want to consider for maybe a future, a little more advanced approach. Maybe in the future I'll talk about those kind of things, but right now it's a little bit beyond the scope of this show. So the next step is going to go ahead and start painting this thing up. Here's where things start getting tricky. You can try to paint this directly, it's not going to work very well. For whatever reason, paint just doesn't stick to the surface of this type of extruded polystyrene very well. So you need to have some kind of coating on it, and it's not really a primer, well, sort of a primer, not really, because it's not going to be using paint primer. In fact, if you try to use spray primer on this thing, you'll probably end up dissolving it and ruining your whole model. So what you're going to want to do is actually, as I did back in the Monster Apocalypse buildings, we use the same material, add a very thin layer of white glue on all the sides. This will then, when the white, very thin layer of white glue dries, it'll be a very hard plastic layer that you can actually paint onto and start applying the colors to it. So as we did when we were gluing this thing together, I'm only going to apply a small amount of glue, not as much, because I'm more interested in spreading on a very thin layer that's going to dry relatively quick than a nice thick layer that's going to be needed to hold the two sides together. So just all I'm doing is taking my a little bit of glue down, taking my plastic bag here, and running a thin layer of white glue over the entire surface. One thing just to be careful of, as you run the white glue over, don't let it fill in the gaps too much, otherwise you kind of ruin the whole effect of trying to etch it in the first place. I just finished covering up this side with a thin layer of white glue. It's going to take a while to dry, so let it dry. And when it does, you can flip it over, do the same thing to the other side. And when the other side is dry, kind of go ahead and then do the same exact things. Well, we won't do it to the top and bottom just quite yet. We'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, so once this dries, do the other side, do the same thing, thin layer of white glue, let that dry, and we're going to come back after that. So it took some time here, and I went ahead and let the glue dry a little bit. Just a little bit wet, but a lot of it's covered, so got a nice thin covering over the course of the entire Pulse rifle side. First thing that we're actually going to do is paint in all the little grooves and things we cut out, or the engravings, and give them a very black look. So they're going to look a little more deeper and darker and recessed than the rest of it. So I'm just using some pretty basic poster paint here. You can find this stuff at just about any arts and crafts store for pretty cheap. Just taking not really even that detailed of a brush. And you don't have to be even all that particular with it. Just run paint in all the little engravings. Don't worry about being like I said, exactly perfect. You can be a little messy because any spillover, you're going to end up painting over anyway. This is just to try to get a whole bunch of black paint down in the engravings, so that when you paint the rest of the gun a grayish, kind of silverish color, that these engravings will stand out quite a bit. So here we go with engravings are all covered in. It's a nice deep black color. So you see it's a little bit sloppy, but that's all right. We can deal with that later. You really don't have to worry about putting a second coat on because probably you just dumped a whole bunch of paint in there. So it's not like it's going to need a second coat. But once that dries, you can go ahead and we can flip over on the back side and do the same thing. And then once we got both sides engraved, we can start painting the main color of the Pulse rifle and give it a kind of a grayish, silvery color to its body. Now, while I'm letting the black paint dry here in the etching, I want to talk about something a little bit similar, about building another type of weapon. This time, let's talk a little bit about building the chainsword that the Space Marines carry. I believe the Eldar are something similar, but I'm not terribly familiar with them as I am with the Space Marines. So, you could build a truly fully functional chainsword if you wanted to tack together a chainsaw. You could do it. I don't know if it would be the best thing to do, and it might not be the nicest thing to have to play with somebody. But if you want to create a simulated one, one option would be to actually build it in a Desert Dagger Hero weapon. I don't know if it's legal per se, but you can give it this. You can use some of the same building techniques they have. You have to ask them if that type of weapon with a little spiky thing sticking out of it is actually legal. If you're not familiar with Dagger Hero, it's something we talked about a while back on Season 1, Episode 19, I think it was. Yeah, that was a long time ago. Interviewed some of the guys from the local Arendor chapter. It also showed up on the Discovery Channel earlier this year. It's based on Lord of the Rings-inspired battle game, where these weapons are built out of, there's actually a PVC core in running down the length of the sword here, and actually a whole bunch of foam padding on here. So you can go and wail on people all day long, and it really doesn't hurt too bad. So what you could actually do is turn one of these guys into a chainsword. Because right now, I really can't take it off, but there is actually a very thin material coating over here that I've painted up with some crazy cool flame-looking things and some really rune-looking hieroglyph stuff. So what you probably could do is, Dagger here does have weapons for single-bladed weapons where, only one side is a blade. It's designed really to be used primarily for, say, things like cutlasses and that type of weapon. What you could do is to remove this fabric, and actually inside the layer here, this top layer of foam padding, because there's about three layers of foam padding between this, the very top here and the PVC piping that runs straight down the middle. You would cut little, maybe little dashes, and then actually cut some more little triangles out of the same foam padding and glue those in these little slots. It actually gives you a little serrated edge effect here. And maybe you can either leave that area exposed without no fabric on it, or maybe you can get the type of fabric that can kind of mold over and bend over it. So you get the look of little bit of spike sticking out here and there. You can actually then paint it up to make it look like it's got a little chain blade running along. And for the actual handle and the pommel back here, all this really is, this is more foam padding and tape that I stuck in different ways. So, I mean, you could get really creative and make this back end actually look like the real weapon hilt that's attached to the Space Marine itself. So that's gives you some ideas. Maybe you actually want to make a real chainsaw that you can run around with and hit people. This is a way to do it. But obviously, I'll post a link in the show notes to Arandor.com where they actually, at least they used to, hopefully they still do. I haven't checked recently at the time of this recording. Hopefully they still have a nice tutorial on how to build a sword just like this. These are really simple, relatively cheap, decent ways, and it's a lot of fun to play this game if you've never played it. So I'll put a link in the show notes once again to how you build a basic sword. And I explained just a few minutes ago, or a few seconds ago, how you can expand on it to make it kind of look like a little bit of a chain sword. I'm still waiting for this stuff to dry, but until then, so I'm just going to let this dry a little bit more, and we'll come back and I'll show you how you can paint up the main body of the pulse rifle. Now we're down to the last few steps here of finishing up your Tau Empire pulse rifle replica. As I lift this up here, you can see all the engraved areas now filled in with black, and it's time to go over and give the rest of the body a base coat of just kind of a gray color. So we're just using some white and some black poster paints, nothing fancy here. We want to use proportionately more white because we're trying to go for a gray color, and just a little bit of black tends to really make things dark. Just mix it up. I'm going to be using a 1-inch brush I picked up from a local store for about 89 cents. Very simple, very basic brush. And we're end up going to probably, you may need to do two coats of gray. But what I'm actually going to do, and regardless, I'm going to have a base coat of this gray color, and then I've actually got, sitting in front of me here, some metallic silver spray paint that's going to end up actually being the like kind of a finishing coat to kind of give the gun a little bit of a metallic look to it. As you're going over these things, just try not to cover over the engraved areas too much. So you spend a lot of time painting them nice and black for a reason. One thing that might not be a bad idea if you've got available to you is to actually use some kind of straight edge you can paint up so that you don't accidentally cover in any of the little crevices and the etched areas. I don't have anything like that I'm using, but that is possibly a valid idea if you've got something laying around that you can use for that. Maybe an old yard stick or meter stick or something like that. And then, of course, once you get this one side done, let it dry. Flip it over and do the other side, and same thing. But before you actually go ahead and paint the rest of like the top and the bottom, the front and the back, we're going to go ahead and attach our scope. So be sure to wait before you paint those areas. Finish painting. We'll come right back. And we'll go ahead and show you attach the scope and kind of get this thing pretty close to being done. So we're proceeding pretty well here with the Tau pulse rifle. You can see I got it out in front of me. I've got this side fully painted up over here, and I've also got the same kind of gray coat in the back. I also filled in a little, I guess, sort of a handle down here. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's a little small open square down in the corner. Now, I haven't painted the top, the front, the back, or the bottom. I'm going to do that in just a little bit. Instead, what I've got here is this is a little laser sight thing that it sits on top of the Tau pulse rifle. It looks kind of like what you see in the actual figures. This thing goes above, on the top of the pulse rifle, above, directly above where the little, I call it the little ammo cartridge, the little thing that sticks down is. It's kind of odd because it sits off the side a little bit. So I'm going to go ahead and line up so it sits off. Well, doesn't it sit? Yeah, it sits off the side kind of. If you look at the figure, you know what I mean. It's kind of weird. So I'm going to glue it down in the place where it's supposed to be. And just like the rest of the model, if you haven't done so yet, you want to cover this thing in a thin layer of white glue, just because in order to paint it, it's got to have a nice thin layer of white glue on it. So run some glue on the bottom of the piece you're connecting to the pulse rifle with. There we go. And then glue it in place and just kind of hold it there. You may want to consider some kind of pin system where you stick in a kind of a few pins straight from the top of the sight down, because that'll hold it better than just glue alone. In fact, I'm going to look for some of those right now. I'll be back in just a minute. So here I am now. I'm going to go ahead and run the pins through the laser sight, as I said I was, and going to pin it down into the actual body of the pulse rifle. The one thing I've noticed is my nails I've got are a little bit kind of short for this job. They don't quite go all the way in. Let me see if I can get you a little bit closer. You can see there the nail doesn't quite... It reaches it, but not as well as I would like it to. So what I'm going to actually do then is countersink them. If you're not familiar with that terminology, what that means is they're going to have a little bit of a hole already in the top of the laser sight here, so I can kind of push the nails down a little bit further. So I'm just putting two little holes in the top of the laser sight. There we go, just like that. Take the first nail, we're going to stick it in the hole I just did, and then using the screwdriver, we're going to push it down a little bit further, just like that. Bunk. And it all falls over on me. So essentially, using a screwdriver, what I did is I just drove the nail down in a little bit further than below the surface. I'll show you what in just a moment. Let me put the other one in first, so we get a nice solid hold. So I'm going to stick the nail in this hole I just punched with the screwdriver. Use the screwdriver, push the nail down a little bit further. So now if I pick this thing up carefully and hold it up to the camera, you'll see there's two holes in there. The nails have now been countersunk about an eighth to a quarter of an inch below the top of the styrofoam. That makes them stick in a little bit better. And with that, it'll also make it hold up a little bit better. And that's just going to obviously hold the whole thing, the whole laser sight on better than just using glue alone. We're ready to go ahead and finish painting up all the edges. Then we're going to go to the detailing phase, and we're just about ready to call this project done. So go ahead, paint the top, the laser sight, everything. So there's nothing but just no, there's no pink left showing, and we'll go ahead and move on from there. Now we've got the nearly complete Tau pulse rifle sitting in front of me here. It's got a pretty good shade of base coat gray on it. And what I want to do now is add a little bit of metallic look to it. So that's why I've got this sitting over here. It's basically some silver metallic finish spray paint. So I'm going to take this thing outside, hit it with a relatively light coat so that I don't cover up a lot of the etchings. If I do end up covering up the etchings, not a big deal. We'll fix it up in the very last step. But I'm just going to take this outside, hit it with a light coat of this metallic silver, and we'll give it a kind of a little bit of metallic shimmering look to this pulse rifle. So I'll step outside, do that, and I'll come back in when I've got that taken care of. Well, after a quick coat of metallic spray paint and one messy paint spill cleanup that I had to do, we're back in action with a nearly finished Tau pulse rifle. It's got a nice little metallic sheen to it. It's pretty well covered in gray. I mean, there are maybe a few spots. It's a little bit of a sloppy job on my part, but it's really a matter of just maybe going back over and giving it another coat of paint. The last two things you have to do is, one, chances are you probably covered in just some of the various little etchings and things. So you may have to take a small, fine brush and go and clean those up a little bit more. So, which I'm doing right here. It's just inevitable you're going to screw up a little bit. It's not that big of a deal. So I'm going to take a little bit of retouching, hopefully. Just like that. Pretty quick to do those three. Everything else came looking pretty good. But anyway, as I'm finishing up here, the last thing, I guess, well, before I say that, but the last step is obviously then to add a few details to it. There's some barrels. There's two barrels in the front of the pulse rifle over in this end. I'll paint a little black circles in. There's also some kind of little scope and lights that appear on the actual laser sight thing or the scope, whatever actually it is up there. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but yeah. So there's always some little things there that you're going to have to paint in later, or maybe add some little bits of other styrofoam or maybe some foam core board, something to add on there to add that effect into it. And I guess the last thing I want to talk about is a little bit expanding on this idea. Because this is the Tau pulse rifle is a very basic weapon in terms of how it looks. It's really just one layer, relatively flat. It's easy to do, and that's why I picked it first. But I mean, with a little bit of skill and a little bit better sculpting techniques, once you learn how to do this a little bit better, you can really branch out to just about any major weapon. I mean, if you look at, say, I'm going to hold up the bolt pistol that's attached to the Space Marine Sergeant over here. It's very similar. It's got a few layers to it, so you might need to cut pieces out and stick little additional layers on top of the base layers. So there's a little bit more work to it, a little bit more sculpting. It's a little more artistic, especially those little skulls that the humans like to have in their armor and their guns and things, compared to the less detail of the Tau. But a lot of it, in theory, is just a lot of the same ideas. Is do very careful sculpting using the little foam cutter I got in front of me here and that kind of thing. So if you ever go ahead and try it, you can post pictures on the Army Showcase at tabletopbattlefield.com. Of course, it's free to do so. We'd love to see those kind of crazy, cool mods. And with that, I guess I pretty much can call this episode done. I think I did a decent job here of showing you how to build this kind of stuff. Gave you some ideas of what works, what doesn't work. So hopefully you can take this and expand on it, do some really cool things. I'd love to see them. So until then, I'm just going to sign off here. If you have any questions or comments about the show, send them over to jason@rockosoftware.com. That's rockosoftware.com. And of course, for just a few more weeks here, we're still running a poll on what game are we going to review next. Let me see if I remember what our choices were. You had Mutant Chronicles by Fantasy Flight Games. You had Pulp City by some other foreign company. It's a superhero game. You had Heavy Gear Blitz by DreamPod 9. Then there's the current favorite, Blood Bowl by Games Workshop. And the last one was a World War I Dreadnought naval combat game. I still honestly haven't looked up the title yet. Oops. But yeah, those are your choices. Send them over to jason@rockosoftware.com or follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/TT_battlefield. You can vote that way as well. Send me a little at reply @TT_battlefield. And I'll count your votes and probably maybe next episode, maybe one more to see how many votes you go. We'll decide what game we're going to review next on Tabletop Battlefield. So thanks for watching. Hopefully you enjoy this little project. A little bit different than what we've done in the past, but it uses a lot of the same techniques. And you can take these techniques and then go ahead and apply them to, obviously, other terrain-building projects. Yep, that's about it. So, once again, I'm Jason. Thanks for watching. We'll see you again in about 2 weeks on the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.
The Tabletop Battlefield is copyright 2007-2009 by Jason Rutherford and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License.
The intro music Down With Everything is by The Transfer and is acquired from www.patefighter.com and is used under a Creative Commons License.